Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. I am your host, Eric Jensen, and today I am joined by a junior volleyball head coach and a Wisconsin native, maybe not, probably, but I don't really know his backstory too much, but I don't know. I'm not going to bullshit this anymore. It's Brian Willis. How you doing, Brian?
Good, Eric. How are you doing?
I'm living. Are you originally from Wisconsin?
Yeah, I am.
All right. Born and raised. The son of...
Thank you.
Son of the... What state is Wisconsin? What?
The Badger State.
Son of a Badger State. Very nice. Oh, hence why they're the Wisconsin Badgers. All right. I just figured that out just now. Cool. Well, that's cool sounding. I kind of want to get to week five. We're not going to go over every game in week five. There were a lot of good games. If you want to hear more in-depth analysis of, like, games this week, go. I was on the Pierce of Mind podcast. That was kind of cool. So go check that out. I have more in-depth like analysis there. But I just kind of wanted to talk football with my buddy Brian. And I guess outside of your team, Brian, what was your biggest takeaway from this week?
My biggest takeaway. Boy. I'd say, well, for one, how good the Saints are. It's just unreal. You know, there's hardly any flaws in their game, especially with Mark Ingram back. That offense looks tough to beat. And the Chiefs, too. The Chiefs made a mockery of the Jaguars' defense. Everybody is making the Jags' D look like fools this season. I don't get it.
Yeah, for some reason, they've kind of regressed a little bit. I didn't think they looked awful, but they sure did give up quite a few points in that game. I think you're right on the Saints, too. What impressed me was, like, the pass rush. I thought that was something we haven't seen from New Orleans probably in my lifetime, at least, watching football.
Yeah, I agree.
The last 20 years of the game, I don't think they've had a great pass rush. So it's cool to see that now. And then the other thing was I'm the biggest, like, Alex Smith stan in, like, the whole world. But that game was painful to watch as far as Alex Smith throwing the ball went. And I don't know. I kind of bought into this Redskins team a lot before this game. And now I'm kind of silently moving out on them because I'm not sure how I guess the key to beating this team is shutting down the run, because if they don't run the ball, they seem to not be able to throw it beyond the sticks, and they don't seem to let Alex Smith kind of orchestrate the way he usually does. And the offensive line, I don't think they're bad, but they just got beat up and down on Monday night. So that was interesting to watch as far as that goes. Brian, let's talk about one of the kind of marquee games in week five, Vikings-Eagles. What did you take away from this one?
I was actually surprised that the Vikings were able to pull this one out. The Eagles are in a little bit of a slump this season. I was also surprised to hear that JHI torn ACL.
Yeah, that's rough.
I don't know what they're going to do. They definitely need to establish a run game there. I've heard rumblings of maybe going after LeSean McCoy. I heard somebody else too, but I forgot. Sorry, I forgot who it was.
Oh, probably Le'Veon Bell, but I disagree with the fact that
that was earlier in the season before this happened.
Oh, I don't think Bell's moving, but the Eagles have played better, I think, than their record shows. especially with Carson Wentz. And people have been kind of dishing on Carson Wentz. I thought he's looked good in all the games he's played. It's just the defensive line isn't as ferocious, and the offensive line, which was really their strongest position group last year, has played really badly throughout this whole stretch of the opening season. I think they can be okay. Wendell Smallwood is a good running back. They still got Darren Sproles out there. I think they'll be fine at running back, and if they have to resort to Carson Wentz throwing more, I think that's also fine, because I think he can do that. But on the other side, I wasn't super surprised that the Vikings won this game. The defense played like it was, you know, advertised throughout the whole offseason. It stepped up and played a huge part in this win. Defensive touchdown, of course, kind of put this game out of reach for the Eagles. And Kirk Cousins looked good again. I don't know. A lot of people, like, when critiquing the Vikings, are going after Kirk Cousins. And I feel like anyone who does that hasn't, like, watched the games, or for that matter, even looked at a box score, because Kirk Cousins has put up absolutely insane numbers this year, and I don't know. I just feel like he's got a real chance to put his name kind of in the MVP race almost.
Yeah, I think you could definitely make an argument for him. I think he's on the lower end of the MVP race as it stands right now, but I mean, look what happened with Tom Brady last year. The two guys ahead of him got injured, and Brady continued to play well. Wentz and Watson, you know, went down, and Brady kept moving. I was surprised that the Vikings, the way the game started, I was surprised that they were able to hold on and win the game. They're not, at least the way they're set up this year, they're not a good play from ahead team, because they don't have, their defense has struggled, and the run game has struggled. Once they got there, set up 17-3 at halftime. And, I mean, there was almost no doubt in my mind that the Eagles still had a shot, because the Eagles are a great play-from-behind team. They've got, you know, they're great on both sides of the ball. All the Eagles games have been so strange this year. I don't think any game's been decided by more than 6 points, win or lose, and they lost to some bad teams. I don't know. And then the funny part is, I mean, it's still early in the season, sure, but the Eagles at 2-3, the Vikings at 2-1. Both these divisions are still well in their grasp of both these teams, NFC North. The Vikings can still win it. I mean, the way the Packers are going, the Vikings probably will win it. But, yeah, no, it's they've both got problems, but I don't think they need to worry too much about them quite yet.
By the way, I don't think you're right as far as saying that Kirk Cousins is on the bottom end of quarterbacks as that are up for the MVP, because he has, behind Jared Goff, the most passing yards this year. Jared Goff leads the league with 1,727, and Kirk Cousins is right behind him with 1,688. And Cousins has less interceptions than Goff does. So, I don't know. I think there's a pretty good shot that Cousins could win the MVP. But then you look at guys like Drew Brees, too, where I think we should skip back to that game for a second. Like, he broke the record, obviously. That's super impressive. And I don't know. Do you think Drew Brees is, like, the most undervalued, like, star franchise elite Hall of Fame quarterback ever?
Undervalued. Yeah, I guess you could say that. The most undervalued.
Not necessarily undervalued, because I'm sure teams would
look. Because there's always been, it's amazing how he's got all these records, but every year, you know, he stays consistently good enough to take second place, you know what I mean, to a
Yeah.
different guy every season in the MVP race. Poor Drew Brees, but, you know, he's got all the records.
Yeah, I mean, he's about to break Peyton Manning's touchdown record, which I'm excited to see that happen. There's
Do you
some.
think Peyton Manning will post a different video? The video was great. Cutting tomatoes.
Yeah. Oh, I freaking love Peyton. No, well, I'm guessing, yeah, he will, because Peyton Manning loves. Peyton love. Sorry. It hurts to say as a Peyton Manning stan, but Peyton Manning loves Peyton Manning more than anyone in the world loves Peyton Manning. So I'm sure he'll put up another video. He's a funny guy. I'm sure he'll put up another video, and I'm excited to see where that comes from. I mean, it doesn't outdo Brett Favre and Trevo. So,
yeah, it's almost like the best part of Drew Brees breaking this record is going to be the Peyton Manning video that follows, you know?
Well, I mean, if you look at it that way, sure. All right. Okay, let me just skim through, see if there's anything else I really want to cover. Oh, Seahawks gave the Rams a scare, but Jared Goff also looked good in that one, 321 yards, touchdown. Chris Carson finally emerged, 19 carries, 116 yards.
Davis had a decent game too, didn't he?
Who?
Mike Davis, running back for the Seahawks.
Let me pull up the box score here. I haven't gotten to this game on Game Pass yet. Yeah, 68 yards on 12 attempts. So yeah. Mike Davis had an awesome game. I don't know what this is again, playing music in the background of my computer. Not a good look for me. But anyways, yeah, that's week 5 was good. There were some great games in it, but you know, outside of Monday night, Cowboys Texans was kind of blah. Cardinals 49ers, even though the Cardinals put up 28 points, the offense really struggled for the Cardinals. But Josh Rosen looked okay. And then you have, I am just always surprised at how decent CJ Beathard plays every game. 34 for 54 with like 349 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's a really good stat line. Niners lost though. The Chargers deep.
I don't understand the CJ Beathard hate. There isn't much, but he hasn't really had the best shot to shine. But you know, people in Wisconsin, we've seen him before. We played at Iowa, and he did pretty good. I just didn't understand some people. Thought, you know, I mean, McKinnon done for the season, Garoppolo done for the season. The 49ers fans said, you know, season's over. But Beathard is not a bad quarterback. He's not a bad fill-in guy. I mean, the season probably is a wash, but I hope people still give Beathard a chance. You know, it's not like you're throwing I don't know. I can't think of a good example off the top of my head. It's not like you're throwing who's a bad backup quarterback? I'm sorry, I'm blanking.
Brock Osweiler.
It's not like you're throwing Brock Osweiler in there.
Oh, my pride and hate. Brock Osweiler. All right. Chargers defense kind of came around. So I got my eye on you, Chargers. I'm out on you as of right now, but...
Do you put a lot of stock in that going against the Raiders? Offense,
no, that's why I said I'm not back in yet. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm watching you, though, Chargers. You're flying in the radar. Eli Manning looked bad.
Big game for you next week, though. Chargers Browns. We rooting for it.
Chargers who?
Chargers Browns.
Ooh.
I know.
That's a rough one.
As a non-fan of either, I like them both, you know?
I mean...
I want them both to win.
We know too many Browns fans to root against the Browns, but I might have to root against the Browns because, you know, Chargers are like...
I'd love to see them upset.
Like for Chargers, upset. The Chargers.
It would be a good game if the Browns upset the Chargers.
Yeah.
It would have to be a good game.
I'll be happy either way. I really will. All right. I am sluggish today. I apologize, everyone. I am feeling a little bit sick over here, but the show must go on. All right, let's talk about it. The Packers are now 2-2, 2-2-1. Pardon me.
Yeah, don't cheat us out of that tie.
They lost. Scoreline's closer than this game actually was. Lions really blew them out. But 23-31 final score. I am right, by the way, right? The Lions blew the Packers out.
Yeah, it was...
This game was never really close.
An 8-point win, but it was further apart than that.
All right, so the Packers... I want to ask you this first. Did you expect them to be better than this at this point in the season, in the offseason?
Yes.
Okay. What has gone wrong, Ben? It's time to... I figure both our teams are in a slump. I wanted to have a conversation about what's wrong. What's wrong?
Well, as far as the Packers go, there's actually a lot of similar issues here with the Packers and Broncos. Our offensive line is horrible. You would think that after Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone last season, that would be... Because everyone saw how the Packers played without Aaron Rodgers. It was pretty disgusting. You don't ever want to see that again, so your main priority, I would have assumed, would be to address the offensive line. They really didn't do that, and it's showing itself again this season. Another big factor, and it's really starting to surface, is the play calling. Last week, the Packers went up against a Detroit Lions defense that has allowed the most rushing yards per game in the NFL. They average 150 rushing yards, and they average, I think it's like 5.6 yards a carry to opposing running backs. And, I mean, the best running back on the Packers, I would say, is, who would you say?
I would say Aaron Jones, and I don't think it's close. He's just so much, he's so, Aaron Jones? Is that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah, hands down. I don't think it's close. He's so much faster, so much. He cuts so much better. Ty Montgomery's a wide receiver who can run end arounds, but like you can't. Yeah, it's Aaron Jones, hands down. And they need to give the ball to him more because he's arguably, I would say, the best running back they've had since what's his face, James Brown, I want to say.
James Brown.
Is he a real running back that played for the Packers? I don't know. I wasn't watching football the last time the Packers had a good running back.
Ryan Grant, Amon Green.
Who was the best running back before Aaron Jones? I guess. Right.
Probably Amon Green.
Yeah. Gotta think a while. Yep.
I mean, Eddie Lacy gave us a good year of his career, the only year of his career. You lay all that out in front of you, the Lions having a horrible run defense, and you've got three running backs to choose from, Aaron Jones, Ty Montgomery, and Jamal Williams. The snap count last Sunday was Jamal Williams, 33, Ty Montgomery, 29, Aaron Jones, 22. What are we doing?
I mean, what are you doing? I I'm as confused as you are. They need to hand the ball off to Aaron Jones more.
Aaron Rodgers sort of subtly, in a subtle way, called out the play calling 2 weeks ago. He said there was no flow to the game. Somebody asked him, you know, who controls that? And he gave a little subtle jab at the coaching staff. I think it's definitely a problem that's been lingering for a long time. I mean, you know my opinion on Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
I think the new GM, you know, whether people want to believe it or not, I think he's already, you know, out of the corner of his eye looking for a new head coach. And he should be. Rightfully so. These first few games are not good. Not good with the talent at quarterback, the talent that we added on defense. I mean, I think Pettine's done an all right job so far, but that season-ending injury to Mo Wilkerson didn't help. But.
All right. Season. So say you fired Mike McCarthy today.
Like right now?
Yeah, today. Like, who's the guy this offseason that the Packers go after? Like, who are the top head coaching names? Because honestly, like, two come to mind. It's like Josh McDaniels and John DeFilippo. But, I mean, I don't think McDaniels is moving from
New England.
No, yeah, but I think... I honestly think Belichick, like, strong-armed him and was like, listen, I got, like, 2 or 3 years left, and after I'm done, I'm handing this to you.
But I think the only way that trumps that is if he goes to a Super Bowl contender with an all-time great quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. I think that's the only way he leaves, if that. Like you said, I couldn't see him leaving. But... if there was a team to get him to leave, it'd have to be someone who's set up more than the Colts. No, I think McDaniels would be at the top. My personal list, McDaniels would be at the top of the list. After that, you know, I like what I see out of Lincoln Riley. College coach at Oklahoma. Who knows if he'd be willing to leave for the NFL. A guy like Chris Peterson, head coach at Washington Huskies. But the trend right now seems to be young coaches. And Chris Peterson would be the opposite of that, obviously. I think he's like 53. There's two names I definitely would not like to see. Is Joe Philbin, the current offensive coordinator. You saw what he did with Miami. Jim Harbaugh. I would stop watching Packer games if Jim Harbaugh was our coach.
Why? But this is something I've never understood. Jim Harbaugh literally had nothing but success in the NFL.
Where is he now?
He's at Michigan.
Why is he at Michigan?
Because he wanted to take the Michigan job more than he wanted to coach the 49ers.
I think he saw that his best years were behind him in the NFL, so he left and went to college.
I disagree. I think the college he graduated from offered him a job, and he took it. And that was always his end goal, was to be the Michigan head coach. And now he is, and now he's always on a hot seat or whatever, and I'm not sure he enjoys that. I don't know. I could see him going to the NFL.
Don't get your khakis in a bunch.
I wear khakis all the time, sir, so I will not.
You are a typical Harbaugh fan.
I'm a big khaki guy, honestly. It's just, they're just a comfortable set of pants. All right, so... I want to know this. Coaching, that's obviously something easy to blame. But, like, what on the field, like, what position group is the cause for the problems early in the season?
Well, like I said, our offensive line is struggling. And that hasn't been our strong suit for a couple of years here. I couldn't believe at how well our offensive line ranked. But I think a lot of that has to do with...
I thought they've looked pretty good, honestly. I've watched most of the Packers games on Game Pass, and I think they've protected Rodgers pretty well. Like, obviously, you're going to allow a few hits, but every offensive line allows, even the best offensive lines allow a few hits a game.
I think you need to look at it from a different perspective. I think Rodgers doesn't get hit as much as other quarterbacks because of his pocket presence and his mobility and how well he gets rid of that ball, you know? I mean, it's, you look at that, and I think your opinion might change slightly. You know, I'm changing your opinions pretty often.
I just feel like, wouldn't it be tough to play offensive line for Aaron Rodgers? Because if you have a quarterback that does what he does so well, move around in the pocket and scramble and change points, like, that's hard to keep up with blocking.
He doesn't do that on purpose, though.
I think sometimes he does. I think Aaron Rodgers has run himself into trouble a few times, and I think he does it at least once a game where he dances where he doesn't have to, and he puts himself in danger of a big hit. And because I do think this offensive line has worked well, but I'll go back and consider. I do want to ask this. I know I've heard like a ton of national heat on the defense. I don't think the defense has played that badly, especially the secondary. I think the secondary is one of the more underrated units in the NFL right now.
No, I definitely agree that our defense is nothing to really complain about. But it's also, it hasn't been anything to celebrate though either. It's very average. But average is light years ahead of where we were last season, where we were not any season with Dom Capers. We won a Super Bowl with Dom Capers. But, it's improved. It definitely has improved. The young corners that we drafted, Jaire Alexander, he's missed a few games. Josh Jackson, they've looked really good in the time they've been on the field. So, Oren Burks, the linebacker, the safety linebacker hybrid, that they drafted this season, rookie. And they drafted him specifically to cover, you know, running backs, running routes out of the backfield, because that was a big issue in the past, and he's done great too. You can't really complain about the defense, but it's not like we're not to the point where our defense is feared.
I mean... Yes, you're right. Defense isn't feared, but I just feel like it's a ton better than it was in the past, and I don't know. I think the Packers are going to figure it out because it feels like I know that you as a Packers fan have a different perspective, obviously, and I think you're like me a lot in that we both have very pessimistic views of our teams most of the time. We're always looking for the bad stuff. But I feel like, as an outsider, the Packers do this every year. They start slow, everyone gets really worried, and then Aaron Rodgers turns it on. And if he stays healthy, they make it to the playoffs, and maybe they win one or two playoff games and have a decent shot of contending for a Super Bowl. So I'm not too worried yet.
I'm definitely not worried about the Packers. Not yet.
I think the offense is going to wake up here in the next few weeks. But it just feels to me like the wide receiving core is a problem, I think. I don't think Davante Adams has played as well as he was hyped up to offseason.
I'll give you a stat real quick.
Mm-hmm.
The highest percentage of drops in the NFL, the Browns at 7.6. Cardinals, Bills at 6.8, Ravens, Titans, and Packers at 6%. Packers receivers are top five in the most dropped passes.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it doesn't show catchable balls and stuff like that.
No, I agree, because like watching these games, like Aaron Rodgers is making beautiful throws that just get dropped. And
yep. Look at the only teams on this list. You have the Browns, the Cardinals, the Bills. I mean, Ravens and Titans have okay quarterbacks, but Browns, Cardinals, Bills, these are quarterbacks that probably aren't throwing the best catchable balls. Aaron Rodgers throws a catchable ball. I mean, you watch the games, these are hitting guys in the hands and the chest, and they're dropping them. There's noticeably something off with the offense, and it's really, I don't want to sound like an arrogant Packer fan, but it's really the best thing that could happen to the rest of the NFL is that the offense doesn't click.
Yeah. I mean, the Packers have a lot to accomplish and fix, and I hope they do sometime soon. I know I said we were going to get to the Packers, but I am not feeling well, so I feel like I need to go get some rest here before I have an early day tomorrow. I'll talk about the Broncos a little bit more on Friday's show, but before we go, let's just talk Eagles, Giants, who you got in this one, Brian, and who are you watching?
Oh boy, I'm almost scared to pick the Eagles. It's like we've been picking them all season to do well, and they stink it up, man. But you just can't trust Eli. You almost have to wait for Odell to call him out. Then that offense has a good game. Then they slump again. I thought getting rid of Eric Flowers was a step in the right direction, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's safe to say that the Saquon Barkley pick was a mistake. I really do, because I know he's played well.
You're saying that there's a better player to pick in that position.
He's played well. Yeah, absolutely. Because who went number one? Mayfield went number one. They had their pick of literally all four of these quarterbacks, and they were the team that said, if somehow Sam Darnold falls to us, he will be the only QB we take. And then they didn't take him, and now the Jets have him, which is going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because that might be kind of the shift in the New York market, because I'd say right now the Jets are a better managed football team than the New York Giants, which has not been true in a long, long time. And like ever, the Giants are historically one of the best franchises at building pieces and remaining relevant in NFL history. They're an awesome, very historic franchise for a reason, but I think right now the Jets are a better franchise and are heading in a more promising direction than the New York Giants are.
No, I absolutely agree with you.
And I don't think it's weird. And I don't think the defense has looked as good. The defense isn't what it was a few years ago. The defense is a problem now.
No, and it doesn't make sense almost. There's so many good pieces on that defense. They took the best player on the board, the best player available, when they should have took a team need instead. Saquon Barkley's killing in the NFL, but it's not helping him. It's weird to say that, but
yeah, it's a bad pick. It's a bad pick, and a lot of people, like Giants fans, some agree. Donnie probably wouldn't, but I'm not gonna get into Donnie right now. Like Eli has. But I have also noticed this, and it's not just Donnie. Shout out to Donnie. Go check out Donnie on Twitter. I feel like Eli has the most apologists, even non-Giants fans, in the entire league. And people need to realize that he's a washed-up old quarterback who can't really play anymore. And I'm just hoping that this Thursday night, in prime time, we see really bad Eli Manning. He breaks down, throws four interceptions or so, and people are all like, oh yeah, Eli Manning isn't good now. But I feel like that's the opposite of what we'll get. Eli's going to play meh, and I think the Giants will get one of these weird wins that they get occasionally. I'm going to take the Giants 17-10. What's your kind of final pick and score prediction here.
I'll take the Eagles 31-17. The line is Eagles by 3, but I'm gonna say the Eagles are gonna fix their problems in a big way. 31-17 Eagles.
Absolutely. All right, man. Well, thank you very much for joining me. This is always a ton of fun. And give us an update on the volleyball season. What's the record?
Oh, I don't even know what our record is. It's JV, man. We don't really keep track of that.
Oof. This is a bad look for you.
Varsity's been struggling. I think next season will definitely be better as far as varsity goes. All my girls on JV look like they're going to do well at the next level. So,
absolutely. Shout out to your AD who follows you on Twitter, who will most likely listen to this podcast. So, shout out Brian's AD. You a hell of a guy. So,
shout out to Doug Mack.
Yeah, Doug Mack. Oh, that's a baller name too. Shout out to Doug Mack. Doug Mack. This is a Doug Mack podcast now. All right.
It's Mack. But...
Oh, this is Doug Mack. Doug Mack podcast. That's how this is going to go down. That's what this is. Make sure your AD listens to this now. And make sure this gets a retweet from Dan Mawks. So we'll shout out to Dan. Shout out to you, Brian, for coming on. We'll see you again next time. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.